Okay, folks, I got a couple things to say before we start the episode. Number one, Maysoon and I are speaking as individuals and not representatives of any company, organization, or governmental body. And then another thing that I need to tell you is a little something. There is a thing called Get Busy LGBTQIA Zines from the Bay and Beyond going on at the San Francisco Library. It's curated by Kevin Darling.
Oh, Kevin is a darling.
Yes. And it is extremely badass. It is at the main library from March 14th to July 27th. What do you do when the mainstream media doesn't represent your needs, interests, or desires? When you can't find your people and you're living in a pre-internet world but still want to connect far and wide? Get busy, of course, making zines and creating the world you want to see! So get over there to the main library. It's going to be good as fuck. What part of the library is that, though, Maysoon? Where, what floor?
The LGBTQ Center, I think, is on the third floor? Maybe third it's floor. The fourth.
You're right, Maysoon. Okay. High five! Oh, fuck. Really good. So get up there to the third floor of the main library. I also found out that the library is doing... I'll put a link in the underworld. The library is paying musicians $250 for recorded music that will be incorporated into their like digital music collection. So they're looking for Bay Area musicians.
Can you send that to me?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put a link in the underworld for that. And enjoy the show.
Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon, I had other people on the show while you were gone.
I know. I heard that.
And let's go ahead.
I was shocked.
And hear how mad you are. When I was doing it, I was like, ooh, I'm doing something were
you,
bad.
Were you like, oh my God, mama's going to get mad.
Yeah. I was like, don't tell
mommy. I was just
mommy.
Kind of jealous to hear that you interviewed Mitsu without me. Because I don't know Mitsu, but Mitsu is someone I've been like, not obsessed with. But
well, did you listen like, to the show?
No, of course not. And from afar, admiring, I could say.
So Maysoon was in the country of Japan.
That's correct.
Nippon. Nippon QQ.
What's that?
Yata. Yata,
who's that?
Yata. It was a big deal when I was in high school.
Is that like, was it a, what was it?
It's a song by a Japanese band. Nippon QQ. Oh my God. Okay, go ahead.
What the episode is called.
Look, here's my stance on Japan. They are the Great Britain of Asia. They went and killed everybody. They did terrible shit. Go ask Korea. Go ask China.
Can you return all the things I brought back for you?
No, I love them. I love Pentel pins. I've had a Honda and a Toyota.
Oh my God.
So I benefit from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still stand against them.
Yeah. You can
and
stand
I do.
Against,
I stand
against everyone at this point.
10 toes down. No, we stand for Palestine.
Well, basically everyone.
We're good
what
with Palestine. We're good with Ireland. Mm-hmm. I was good with Lithuania, but now they're having some trouble over there. Some weirdness is going on. Uh-oh. They've been in the news a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, they had some. Let's not get into it because it's too dark. But they've had some bad shit going on. Anyhow,
I'm back from a trip. You interviewed some people without me.
Sure did.
And I was shocked. I was shocked and stunned.
I know. But I also got some other interviews lined up.
Plus
that you
two
will
dudes.
Be.
Surprised by that.
Yeah, I know.
For sure surprised
by that.
I'm
like, thank fucking God you're back. Because
kind of get us on point here.
It was a sausage party.
Although I'm excited to interview Conrad again. Or not even interview, just bring him on.
We're really all over the map. You got to talk about Japan. What'd you see?
I didn't talk about Japan. That's okay.
You saw the snow monkeys.
I saw the snow monkeys. They're amazing.
What about the art scene there? The vibe of artists and bohemians?
We saw maybe one man who had long hair. And that was kind of unusual.
Oh, okay.
I feel like, well, for the most part, everyone feels fairly clean cut.
Oh, it's like straight lace.
A little, I mean, not, I'm sure.
But are they like straight edge punks?
I don't know what they are.
Are they moshing?
Well, and they're like in Tokyo, there are lots of guys in suits.
Okay.
So they're businessmen. They're working their day jobs.
We're getting the fashion report.
And Harajuku, we saw some fantastic fashion. Not a lot. Not as much as I would have guessed, but that was like 20 years ago when that was, active, like very active.
Uh-huh. You went to an art supply store for me.
I went to an art supply store for you. Yeah, that was like run by the cutest old man ever in the smallest, like this part of Kyoto where there are no tourists. We were walking to the train, back to the train. We were doing like a 40-minute walk from this temple site back to the train on another side of Kyoto where there isn't a lot of tourism happening. It's mostly just folks living their lives. And we walked by the store who had like vinyl, like fluorescent vinyl rolls outside. And I was like, wait, we walked by. I was like, wait a second. I have a feeling about that place. And I did like a little head whip even. I was like, Jimbo, hold on. Let's get back there. So we walked back. We went in and it was like, it felt like it was an art supply store, like from your days in high school, just like old school. Supplies all over the place, disorganized, up and down the wall. Things felt like they were like from the 70s. Some things were from the 2000s.
My God.
I mean, it was great. It was great. It was this long, like narrow little shop. The guy who ran it was in the middle, but then there's a whole other backspace behind him too, which I didn't realize.
But they have stationery.
No, they didn't have stationery.
T-squares.
They had paints.
Compasses. Rulers.
Paint brushes. I don't even think they had canvas. It was just like all the little supplies that go along with.
Erasers.
Probably.
Pencil sharpeners.
Probably.
Pencils.
Yeah, of course.
Tissue paper.
Didn't see that.
Acrylic paint.
We were mostly obsessing over the Pentel markers or brush pens because Kate wanted some. And I couldn't remember what the hell ones she wanted. And we were reading all the packets, translating all the packets with Google Translate.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we're going to get these. we'll see what happens.
And they were great. And I love them.
They weren't the right pen, but they're still really fun.
They're great.
We got some for ourselves, too.
What part of Kyoto was it?
Do you know the neighborhoods?
Sure don't, but okay. If the listeners need to go find this art supply store.
It's in the neighborhood of Kinkuji Temple.
Okay. Now that's enough.
Which is the Golden Temple.
Yeah, that's good enough.
And then the other part of that walk was not only did we find this really sweet art supply store, which wasn't like the Blick of Japan. It wasn't like the big.
It was a little mom and pop shop.
It was like a little mom pop shop. And it felt great to be like,
well, wait,
we're buying
hang on,
all these
slow
pens
down,
from you.
Slow down.
Slow it down.
When you were in the art supply store, was there anyone else there besides the proprietor?
No.
It was just you and the shop owner.
Yep. I don't even know if there was a cat. There might have been a little animal in there hanging out.
I'm trying to glean anything about the art scene there and the artists.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's big time stuff.
We didn't walk by any galleries the whole time we were there. Actually, there was one that was closed, but that seemed more like... Oh, we went to the Face House in Kyoto, which is a house that's in the shape of a face.
Okay, literally. That's art.
And that... Well, no, the house, the architecture... was the house, but then there was a little gallery on the one side, and then a little cute shop on the other side, and the proprietor there was very sweet. But the gallery was, they were doing some kind of like interactive, like, here's a bunch of questions, answer the questions and pin them to the wall, and I wasn't in the mood.
No.
I can't even tell you what the questions were. It was some little cute interactive thing. I'm happy for it to be there. It was great.
This was what was in the gallery?
This is what was in the gallery.
Okay.
And then Jimbo was reading about it, some kind of social practicing. He was reading about it, and he was like, oh, it's some kind of corporate thing.
What the hey?
Like, it's like a paper company that... I don't know. It was some weird thing where it was like a paper company that does this weird little project in different places. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there.
I know what's going on over there.
It was cute, though. The house itself was cute. But down the street from the art supply store was a music shop. Are you listening?
Yes, a music shop.
A music shop.
Was this similar to the stationery / art supply store?
It was a mom-pop shop, for sure. And I think there was a high school... nearby that was, what month are we in? March? Something was happening, or some celebration happened because everyone was buying flowers. People were coming into the music shop to buy little things. But we went in there, and the guy was great. He was wearing a little, like, button-down shirt tucked in. He was a little disheveled, a little bit, which is kind of great. So maybe he himself was a musician. I mean, he didn't look like a businessman. He looked like he was just like worked at a music shop and had to wear a button-down shirt.
Okay,
for work,
so a bohemian, an artist.
Probably to some degree, yeah.
Okay. Finally, we found an artist.
I'm certain that he played music because he worked there. But we were looking at, initially walked in, looked at guitars. My Jimbo's a musician. We're looking at guitars. And then we're looking at the pianos. And then there was a Rhodes, not a Kate Rhodes, but a different Rhodes.
A Rhodes piano.
A Rhodes piano. And it was amazing.
Did you get it?
We didn't get it. Jimbo, but he plugged it
That's
in.
That's one of my favorite sounds.
It's such a good fucking sound.
Yeah.
So he plugged the proprietor, the guy who worked there, plugged it in, and he was having so much fun with us playing. Like, Jimbo was playing the piano. And he was like, and it does this. And he was like pressing all the buttons while Jimbo was playing, so it kept changing.
So he was basically doing like that scene from Ghost where they're making the ceramics together with Jimbo, where he like had his hands on Jimbo's hands.
Not on his hands, on the... You know when he changed.
But he was like in the position of giving a piggyback ride.
No, he was standing to the side of Jimbo.
Okay.
But he was leaning over him.
Super.
He was showing his cleavage.
Oh my God.
But it was so fun. We spent like probably 30 minutes in there, and that guy was great. He gave us these sweet little, like, for some reason, folders, like school folders, are a big deal in Japan. Like at every shop, you could buy a folder of that shop's logo, of that shop's like thing.
Huh.
They're little like plastic folders with just, it opens and you can put your papers in there.
Nice.
And so he gave us.
Are they giving you papers?
No, I think it's for school kids or people who are going to school to keep their papers organized. Okay. That
but every shop has one.
It felt like
an
every shop had.
Shop.
Yeah, an automotive shop would have definitely had folders.
Huh.
It's almost like the business
like
card. It's like the sticker of here, you know, like you have
or
a little
like
shop.
A branded pen.
A branded pen.
A bookmark.
A bookmark. It's the folder. So all I think if you guys want to get, if at all wants to get in the scene with what's happening in Japan, get yourself some branded folders. But they have to be kind of fun.
Not doing it.
Come on, do it.
Never.
You could do an awesome drawing. This would, at all would become like a hotspot for Japanese visitor, like tourists.
No.
Yeah, it would. You guys would make so much money. That was actually a highlight. We also, Kyoto was awesome. I loved Kyoto. We also went to, Jimbo and I were wandering around on our last night in town, and we happened by a jazz club, and we're like, okay, we've heard jazz is big in Japan. And I think that's from like the 50s when a lot of American jazz musicians were visiting or were being brought over to play music there. So we were like, should we go in there? I don't know. We kind of have to get back. We're leaving tomorrow morning for whatever the next stop kind of thing. We poked our head in and we're like, literally a jam session was happening. Like a monthly jazz, like, I forget what they called it. They called it a session. Uh-huh. It was very cute. Everyone was probably like in their late 20s or 30s.
Uh-huh.
But they were so great. I told you about this already.
Well, but the listeners need to
They
know.
Were so great. They were probably like, they... I mean, when we walked in, there was no one playing yet, but everyone was in the audience sitting with their instruments, like warming up. It was just sort of, we just happened in on this really strange but awesome scene. And we ordered a drink. We're like, we'll just hang out and see what happens. And sure enough, after like no time being there, so one of the guys approaches us, like, oh, are you musicians? Where are you from? Like just immediately at like being super friendly and cute. And of course, Jimbo's a musician. And he's like, yeah, I'm a musician, but he didn't really want to play. He just wanted to hang out and see what they were up to kind of thing. Just, he's like, I'm on vacation. I'm just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
So we listened, watched the first song, which was great. There was like a dichromatic harmonica player, which is like the kind of harmonica. The kind of, it's a big harmonica. It's like almost a foot long and like 4 inches wide. It's like huge.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the harmonica that Stevie Wonder played.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Versus like the smaller ones, which are like a smaller scale. I don't know a lot about them either, uh-huh. but they're supposedly very hard to play. Like, you're a skilled motherfucker if you can play that thing. So there
God
was,
damn.
One of the guys was playing that, and he was going off. He was going off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was cool. There was, like, a killer keyboardist. I was like, you're fucking amazing. He was so good. And there was a killer guitarist who was, I think... The guitarist for sure was like a music student or something, because Jimbo was like, when he wasn't playing, he was like composing on his iPad.
Jesus.
So it seemed like the people that were there were not maybe professional musicians like Jimbo's a professional musician, where that's the only thing he does for work.
Uh-huh.
But they were like maybe hobbyists for the most part. It was like they had their day job, but they
or
also
students.
Loved playing music. Or some of them were students who yeah. maybe would end up being professional musicians or in the music industry. But they were just really sweet and so enthusiastic. And it was just like, it was just really fun to see it, you know? Yeah. And they were so friendly. It wasn't like, I feel like when you go to like certain clubs or bars or something, there's kind of like this, I'm too cool for school vibe where like yeah. no one wants to talk
or
to.
Or just not welcoming.
Not welcoming, yeah. which I call too cool for school, sure. I guess. And they weren't like that at all. And eventually,
so what happened? Did
eventually,
Jimbo?
Eventually they like came back to Jimbo and asked if he wanted to play and... You know, like, and so Jimbo went and played a song with that.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can believe it.
But that's amazing.
It's so great.
For your trip?
I know. It was kind of like such a, it was like a real gift, you know what I mean? To be like, well, that's an amazing memory.
Okay, Japan.
Artists.
I want you
They're
to give it
artists.
A final score.
Oh, really?
For Japan.
Oh, my
the
God.
The nation of Japan.
Here's my score.
Now, keep in mind, listeners, that Maysoon gives scores not numerically, but as a small single line poem. One image.
My experience of Japan was... A cherry blossom tree just starting to bloom.
My word. Almost makes up for unit 731. Maysoon, are you saying this because it's on the verge of blooming because it's going to be in full bloom when you move there? Are you planning to move to
no,
Japan?
No, I think I'm thinking more like I just feel like I scratched the surface, you know? Like
sure.
There was so much we thought we were going to do that we just... There was zero time.
Yeah.
We were like doing, you know, walking like 20 to 30,000 steps a day.
Yeah, sure.
We were fucking exhausted.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
So this is kind of like, we try to do as much as we could, but there's a point where you're just like, and we can't actually walk anymore. Like my feet are fucking hurting me.
When I went to Portugal, I was training to walk a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was getting up to 30,000 steps very often.
It's a lot.
And those weird little cobblestone streets.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like a city like Tokyo. Kyoto is huge. I actually haven't looked into how big Kyoto versus Tokyo is. But Tokyo literally feels like each neighborhood is its own Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's that
one of the biggest cities
intensive.
In the world.
I've never been to a city like that ever.
God damn.
And I would say Mexico City is a huge city that also is like so... overwhelming in some ways, but
dense.
nothing like Tokyo. Nothing like Tokyo.
You got people living in little washing machines.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thousands of people crossing a crosswalk at any given moment. It was crazy. And not even at like the famous Shibuya Scramble where everyone's takes pictures and stuff.
All right, well, thank you for giving us the update. You are our man on the street for travel travel info. I went to Trawick Gallery.
Is that in the East Bay?
I actually realized I had never been there before. I thought they moved from somewhere else, but no, they've been over there for quite some time. And they have a show up by Stuart Pittman.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a lovely show of paintings that are in conversation with Stuart's dad, whose name I sure enough forgot.
In conversation with? Like, are they painted together, or what do you mean by in conversation with?
Well, it was kind of related to, like, Stuart's, like, childhood and upbringing, going, like, on fishing trips with his dad, and then his dad also has some work there on display, because his dad's also a painter.
Cute.
And it was just precious. I loved it. Hard edge abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
Contemplative, but also playful.
Mm-hmm.
Contemplateful. And I would highly recommend anybody to get out there. They have a couple events still lined up. Go check it out. Check out the colors, the shapes, the forms, the vibes, the moods.
Check out Albany.
I would give it a 9.6. And actually, the woman who was the gallerist there, she's what added the 0.6 because she was... a phenomenal gallerist. Like, she fucking loved this work. Like,
oh.
She was living, breathing, sleeping, eating the work. Okay. And I'm not sure if she lives in that space because it's got like a full-blown kitchen. It's kind of a strange.
It's a house, right? I've been there maybe once before.
It's in an old Masonic temple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's over like off of Solano Avenue. So if you go over there, you can get some food. You can go to the post office. You can do everything.
Look for the secret Masonic symbols.
You can figure out the Illuminati.
Do some research.
I got to say, the gallerist there, 10 out of 10. I'm like, the space is kind of funky.
Do you think she runs the space? Or she?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
The space is a little funky and weird, but I was listening to her talk about Stewart's work, and I was like, any artist would be so lucky to have you representing them because you are so well-informed. Like, you have something to say about every single piece in the show. Like, it just made me feel bad about me working at a gallery and, like, being such a dipshit.
Well, it sounds like she's just really into the work that she does.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. I think if I curated these shows, I'd probably
have a
little
very
more
different
investment. But God bless all the shows we have here at All Gallery. 10 out of 10. Come and see them.
I think your work would go great over, or go over well in Japan.
In a kitchen? In Japan. Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Which work?
I don't know any
of
it.
Video stuff?
Sure.
They want to see a weird American dancing around, being a little freak, being a little jester for them and their imperial power.
Their art world would love it. Ooh, Jesus.
Got it. I'm trying to think of what else happened while you were gone. I only have terrible things to report.
I know. We got to get you focused on some other things every once in a while.
Oh, good things?
Yeah.
Oh.
I need you to highlight a few good things that are happening in your world.
Let's see.
It can be hard to remember sometimes.
We got a talk coming up at Real Time and Space. It's going to be our new resident it's a duo who run a small press called Bench Press, which I think is really cute.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Bex.
Now that name I like.
Bench Press?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't it good? Why? Who are you hating?
Unlike that one magazine, that little...
Oh, God damn it, Maysoon. You got to get on board.
I still have
it. You know,
it.
They're almost sold out. It's been a huge
hit. You gave me one.
The San Francisco Review
it's
of whatever.
It's by my bedside.
You better get into it, people. They're selling like hotcakes. We can't keep them on the shelves here at all. Seriously, we just got restocked.
Amazing.
So come get them.
Let's talk about Bench Press.
Bench Press is going to be giving a talk at Real Time and Space on April 9th. At 7 o'clock, and it's two artists, Bex Yayolk and Madeline Aguilar, and then they're going to be joined by Vivian Sming of Sming Sming Books.
Love Vivian.
Vivian's the best, so please come by. It's
let's interview Vivian.
7 to 9.
Have we?
No. So come. That's one thing that's happy is all the stuff going on at Real Time and Space. We also have a bunch of workshops coming up. I'll link all this stuff in the underworld. Please come do a workshop. It's free.
Free.
We got fucking art intervention workshop for like fucking doing protest art and activist.
Oh, great.
Like,
there's a big national day of protest on April 5th.
Great.
Coming up, which is Saturday.
Yes.
So please, I don't have the information, but it's a big day. Everyone's out.
Link in the underworld. Let's see. What else we got? Motherfucking... That's about it.
Okay.
Also, I'll put a link also to Artists Against Apartheid. There's
okay,
been
great.
A bunch of stuff with them. They have like, what do you call it? Little group
chapters
or whatever
works,
all
yeah.
over the place. And there's a Bay Area chapter that would be cool to get plugged into if people want to do that. Folks, Maysoon, I only want to talk about, can I get into the dark despair, bad news things?
Yes.
Okay, here's the deal, Maysoon. They got this fucking neighbor group. I hope some motherfuckers listening to the show actually write in about... Oh, speaking of, there was some email that I wanted to tap into. We actually got some listener interaction. People, okay. You got to be listening and interacting. Give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can... you can't tweet us. We've never been on Twitter for years. Give us a call, 419-351-6606, and email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. We want to thank our donors, Jim Prosser and Anonymous. And
are they still donating?
You know
it's been years.
And if you want to be also a donor, then you'll go to congratulationspinetree.com and hit that donate button. you know, become a sustaining member. Okay, here's the deal, Maysoon. I fucking found out about this goddamn motherfucker, okay? 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 They got this damn thing over on 16th Street.
Oh, look, yeah, we're talking about this. Look,
16th Street BART Plaza. The cops are coming in. They're making it a
new... There were cops walking down the street right here.
Yeah, they're making it the new fucking DMZ. So there's this neighbor, quote-unquote, alliance called the 16th Street Alliance. It's mainly fucking business owners and landlords that want to get the cops to come in and arrest everybody and get all the riffraff out of their little neighborhood. Okay, so I fucking hate it. I'm mad. I'm ready to ride. Okay. One of the people that's involved is Manny from Manny's, who I don't think we've ever talked about it on the show, but Manny's is fucking Zionist bullshit. Like, Manny fucking sucks. That place fucking sucks. Don't engage. Okay. Disengage from Manny's. We condemn. We stand 10 toes down and we condemn Manny's. Let it be known. But then also on this list, so I'm going to put a link in the underworld. You can go check out the 16th Street Alliance.
Also, wait, can I just quickly say...
Ugh, get in there, because Maysoon.
The thing with Manny's also is that Manny is a dude who came from New York. When the moment he got here, he somehow plugged into SF City government officials. So he's somehow, I don't know how this works, very well connected to the city. So he's on, like, commissions. He gets all the perks any motherfucker who's kissing city officials' asses gets. The building, I believe the building that the cafe is in on 16th and Valencia was initially for community organizations, small community businesses, and it was subsidized. It was supposed to be subsidized rent or whatever. And I don't know how Manny got that, because he had just moved to San Francisco when he got basically cheap or very little rent to run that space, which is why he has that space, because it's so fucking huge. Like, what cafe is that big? Have you noticed? It's massive. So part of me feels like this guy from New York comes in, you know, like, basically steals what's supposed to be a community benefit from the community and says he's the community all of a sudden. That's why there's this whole, like, community vibe there. But it's just, it's actual bullshit.
Bullshit. We call BS. So I just want to
say, like, yeah, I know it, on the outside it looks like a cool thing. It looks like a guy who's doing community work. He's bringing all these people to, like, give talks and blah, blah, blah. But he's a fucking player.
Yeah.
He's a political person who doesn't really give a fuck about community and who is also a Zionist. And there have been protests for that.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I've been a no from the beginning around him.
Absolutely.
I think I've gone in there once because I was like, what is going on here?
Uh-huh. I wish I could give less than zero stars.
Less than zero stars. So I do really encourage people to know where they're going and why they're going there.
Especially Manny's. So anyhow, he is in the 16th Street Alliance group. Okay. Now, the reason I know about this is because I got in a 2-day fight with this guy on Blue Sky, which is the new Twitter.
And can people find us on Blue Sky yet?
Oh, should we make a thing? You can find me on there. Kate Rhodes. That's my name.
On Blue Sky.
Okay. Here's the deal. I go on there. I'm looking at all the bullshit. I'll put a link in the underworld. I go to I'm like, should I sign up for the newsletter to see, like, what these fuckers are up to? But then it says if you sign up for the newsletter, you get added to the list of supporters on their website. So I'm like,
no.
That's kind of sus as hell.
No, that's bullshit.
And then I see also on the list is the person who runs Mother Bar, the lesbian bar that's where Estenote used to be. And I fucking DM'd that person because I was like, do you know you're on this list? Because maybe you just signed up for the newsletter and didn't
realize you're becoming a supporter of this.
Yeah. But then they never got back community. To me. Never got back to me. So I DM'd. I was like, hey, do you know that you're part of this pro cop group?
Yeah.
And so they never got back. I was very cordial, though. I was like,
yeah, you weren't trying to come out polite.
Yes. So I don't know what the fuck is up with that, but it's really pissing me off.
And so what's their deal? What are they trying to do? Did you say that yet?
They're basically, I mean, that's the thing. I got in a 2-day fight with this guy because I was like, look, tell me what the problem is and tell me what you want done about it. Mm-hmm. And it took me 2 days to get it out of him.
Oh.
And he was to actually like pinpoint what it was that he wanted. And,
right.
And so he was like, the use and sale of fentanyl needs to stop. I don't care how. The fucking Alliance website that they put together, like, it's all about law and order. You know, they're just talking about clean up the streets, which it just means bring in the cops to arrest people.
That's not actually getting rid of
that's not doing
the
anything.
Sale and use of fentanyl.
And it's like sorry. The people that they're trying to get arrested are also their neighbors. Like, these are also your neighbors. It's not just the rich fucks in the $4,000 a month apartments. Everyone is your I'm starting to get upset.
It's upsetting.
Why is the world such a fucking man? So watch out for these fuckers. Fuck Manny. Fuck the 16th Street Alliance. If people get a damn grip, like a lesbian bar, mother bar, they sell fucking pro-Palestine t-shirts there. Like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? So I'm going to go ahead and give that a 0 out of 10. But on the positive side, I went to an art opening at this place. It's called Acción Latina.
Oh,
I went out to an art opening there a couple days ago, and there was a guy who was giving out free tacos.
Cute.
And they had potato and bean tacos. And so as a vegetarian, I was very
really
appreciative
yummy.
Of that. I forget what the show was called, but it had all kinds of stuff in it and a lot of boobs. There were a lot of naked boobs shown in some of the artworks. So I'm going to go ahead and give that an 8.3.
I was just thinking about why white people think cops are are the answer to anything.
They just want to invest their violence into the state.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay. I mean, just even like I'm immediately like, okay, this is all white people in that community or in that organization.
I mean, it's actually not. It's not all white people. But it is all like people with privilege, you know, landlords, business owners, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like there was another like beautification project that was happening on the more southern side of the Mission, like, but kind of by me, not by me, but like along 25th and like in that part of the Mission, 25th Street, where there was like some like neighbor group was putting up those fucking planters.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, it was like under the guise of beautification, but really it was to stop people from
sleeping there. Yeah.
Which was, to me, very clear and obvious. And of course, I went on their website because I was like, I'm immediately like, who are you? Who are these people? And they were literally all white, middle-aged people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't you invest your fucking money into actually helping the people who are homeless on the street? Like, what is wrong with you that you're going to do this bullshit move? You know, I don't understand how that is the answer. Like, actually help the people.
It takes 2 seconds to look at the Canadian Ministry of Health website to get good info on, like, how to actually provide services to people that will actually have positive outcomes.
Do we need to send this to the city?
The city ain't doing shit.
Send those Canadian ministries.
Mayor Lurie, this was the other thing. This was his whole jam. This was the whole reason that I got into all this shit, was because there was an article in Mission Local about Mayor Lurie having a fucking press conference at the 26th Street or at the 16th Street BART Plaza with the cops being like, we're clearing it out, we're cleaning up the streets. I feel like we're in a goddamn Batman comic book.
Yeah, I definitely think he's not doing a great job.
Mayor Lurie is sucking it.
Let's send Mayor Lurie the Canadian Ministry's guidelines.
We'll send him some PubMed articles, some National Institute of Health.
Let's do it. Let's also add him to the underworld in case people want to read them.
Mayor Lurie, you're on notice. I don't know what that means, but nothing illegal or
nothing illegal.
That will...
Just we're keeping an eye out.
We got our eyes on you.
Do better. Start doing better.
Do better. Everybody do better. Fuck. I just want to also put it out there that if anybody needs to tap in, there's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I know 12-step groups aren't the answer to everything or whatever. I understand a lot of people have had negative experiences with them or just can't get into it for whatever reason. But it is a place where you can go and sit for an hour with other people that have experienced similar problems to you if you've had issues with narcotics.
I have to say, does that...
Anyhow, it's on Tuesday nights at Adobe Books.
I did like a not any related, but when my dad passed away, I went to like a family mourning group or grieving kind of group,
oh,
and
sure.
It was online, and it was really not my jam. I don't think I like mourning with a bunch of strangers.
Okay.
I'm just saying that as like a...
What was that like? Were people sharing?
I mean, it was intense. People were like... most people there were still grieving people who had passed away like ages ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, you need some extra help. I don't know. I was sort of like felt like this is beyond like what this little group can do. Like... It felt like they needed personal therapists.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's free. These things are free. So it's not exactly the best care.
So I went to one and never went back because I was like, this is definitely not the group for me. It was intense.
I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. So I've been in a lot of 12-step meetings.
Yeah.
I was really hardcore about for many years. And I still go back. I still have been to lots of different 12-step groups. Other ones I don't want to speak on. actually, I shouldn't be saying any of this because of the anonymity thing. It's actually
but
one
you're
of the traditions.
Saying about
you're
yourself.
Supposed to keep your anonymity at the level of press, radio, and screen.
Your own anonymity?
Press, radio, and film.
Don't you have the right to say what you are doing as an individual? You're not talking about anyone else.
I have the right to say whatever I want. But if you're adhering to the like traditions of all these 12-step groups, then you don't say which ones you've been to. Maybe I'll bleep it. Needless
to say, you've been to many.
I've been to many 12-step groups. I found them very helpful, although I do think that some of the step work you do, I think, does like put a little too much shame on the person. Shame. And I think if you're somebody that's already prone to self-loathing, as I think many people are that struggle with different addictions and things, I found that really unhelpful for me, and I had to like kind of untrain a lot of that stuff in like recent years. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
Do you ever feel like there are people that take up too much space and time in those groups? Are you not supposed to have those feelings?
No. I mean, sorry. That's definitely something that happens.
Okay.
And like, you know, this is all peer support. Like, there's not a leader. So, you know.
There's not a single leader, like, who's just sort of helps guide a little bit?
I mean, the meeting will have a secretary that's kind of guiding things. I've been, like, actually, many of the meetings I've been to here in California will have a time limit.
Oh.
Where there's, like, you can speak for 3 minutes if there's comment. Like a comment time. And then once everybody gets a shot at it, you can go again.
You can go again. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, things are often pretty well organized, but there's definitely times where it's like, this person really needs to talk tonight.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I've personally never really cared that much.
Okay, that's good. I love that
like,
for you.
I like the drama when somebody's like, you know, going off about, you know, I lost my wife, I lost my husband, I lost my dog,
you're
lost
like
my
tell
cat.
Me more.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, let's really get into it, let's really dive
do you
in.
Talk do you I'm just I yeah do you talk a lot in those groups, not maybe about yourself, but do you is feedback or just like how does it work? Are you actually therapizing with the person?
There's no crosstalk usually.
No crosstalk.
So
you're not responding directly to someone's.
Like, we're usually everybody's talking. Like, sometimes there'll be a speaker at the beginning of the meeting who talks for like 15 minutes about their personal story.
I see.
Or we'll be reading literature and then respond to that.
Cool.
Or just like a little meditation or whatever.
Yes.
And then everyone's responding to that. They're not talking about each other, what each other has said.
And you're not, okay, yeah.
But sometimes somebody will ask for like, can we talk about this thing? I'm really having trouble. Can I get, does anybody have experience with this?
Oh, yeah. So there can be some.
Kind of. But anyhow, I feel like when I talk in those meetings, I go into this mode where I'm like a fucking motivational speaker or something. And even if I'm.
For yourself?
Not for like the the steps and the group and like, you know,
you're like an indoctrinated person.
I mean, that's the thing. That's I've been happens. Going to 12-step meetings since I was 9 years old because my brother got sober when I was a little kid and he would take me sometimes.
Oh, wow.
So I think I turn, and even if I'm doing really bad, I'll be like talking about how like I worked the steps and it made such a difference. And if you just keep working this program.
Do you believe that?
I mean,
you're just, or sometimes you have to say it to sort of try to believe it.
I don't know. I just think I'm trying to kind of like be the positive influence or just be positive, whatever. I think I have the same, like recently I've like been to like DBSA meetings and meetings for people with mental health, like bipolar disorder and stuff. And I feel like I kind of do the same thing there too, where you I'm like a default mode kind of. Yeah, where I'm like, I thought I would never be okay again, but I'm doing much better now and like blah, 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 blah. And like, even if I'm like really struggling, like.
You'll do that I'll even still, if you're struggling. Yeah. It's like you feel like you have to provide hope for other people by saying that. It almost seems like that's what you're doing.
I think it's just toxic and also, positivity.
Fucking hell.
You know, but I never want to be like, you know, like you're doing bad because you're a problem. Like it's your fault you're doing bad. If you just like work harder, you'll be a champion or whatever.
Can I give you an anecdote about a dance class?
Please.
That has nothing to do with this, but it kind of is reminding me of it for some reason.
I love it.
In this dance class I take on Sundays, it's a great class. It's hip hop. It's so fun. Sometimes there's this guy there who is one of these people who cannot stop fidgeting. And I mean like fidgeting in like a, I'm constantly, he's like practicing dance moves, you know. Like,
oh.
But not I've the dance moves this. We're learning in the class. There are other things. And he's like, he's someone who like has no space awareness.
Uh-oh.
So we'll be like in a pause or the, you know, like the teacher is doing something like getting the music going and we're in a pause and he'll be moving around doing some like weird hip hop dance move. I'm like, okay, bro, we get it. You like dancing. That's awesome. But then he's like slowly infringing like on my personal space. Yeah. And I'm like, me in dance class is like, that's not happening.
Yes.
So I'll have to be like, hey, like,
watch out.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Watch it.
Like he just has no spatial awareness and it kind of drives me nuts. He's also one of the people who like, he's like always like staring at himself in the mirror and he's trying to get closer to the front. He's just one of these guys where I'm kind of like in my class yesterday, I was literally just like laughing out loud at some points, just like to myself. Cause I was like, this guy is so out of it.
He's going for it.
Anyhow, I don't know. I think because I was thinking about like taking the people who are taking up so much space.
Taking up a lot of space.
In like a communal environment where we're all kind of in the room for the same reason, trying to like work on ourselves or be, you know what I mean? Like this, whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Okay, we got to talk about one more art thing. Oh, our email. Okay, we got a listener write in from Larry Bob. Do you know him?
I don't know Larry Bob.
Oh my God. He is Do you a know legend. Larry Bob? He's a legend. He has a cute little dog. He's a legend.
He's a legend. He's an icon.
I think he's a gay legend. Great. Gay? Larry Bob, you're gay, right?
Do you know Larry Bob? Have you met Larry Bob?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, great.
Thank you for writing in, Larry Bob. It made me feel so seen.
Did he write to the podcast or to you?
To the podcast. He said, you mentioned an upcoming Robert Crumb exhibit at Cushion Works, which I hadn't heard of. So I got on their email list. Shout out Cushion Works. Crumb will also be interviewed. Robert Crumb, this is the Robert Crumb show, will also be interviewed at City Arts and Lectures on April 24th by Dan Nadell.
Who's Dan Nadell?
Extra info. But anyhow, Dan Nadell is a curator at large at the Jan Schrim and Maria Minetti Schrim.
I feel like we're doing an ad.
I know.
You guys better pay us.
Museum of Art at UC Davis. He's the author and editor of several books, including Art Out of Time, Unknown Comic Visionaries. Oh, what's today? Monday? Thank God. Okay, Maysoon, we got to wrap it up here. I'm hungry.
Me too.
Okay, Maysoon, I'm so glad you're back. We're going to say free Palestine, and I'm going to be walking my ass from the bridge.
Wow. To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.